Hi and welcome to GamerCast. This is episode 61. I'm Adam.
And I'm Paul.
And we're broadcasting live on the 4th of March.
2007. At 19:05 exactly.
Oh yeah. That's 5 minutes past 7.
5 minutes past 7? Where the hell are you from?
From the people that just about know how to tell the time, clan.
Right, I see. I'll just take your watch.
No. It's worth more than a bloody PS2.
PS2's worth nothing, so that's...
PS3, sorry. It's hard. It's worth about two PS2. Threes.
You see that? I can tell the time better than that.
Yeah, so can my phone.
You see aesthetic. That? That's synchronized to the internet every day. Which is why your watch is like half hour wrong. Right, anyway.
On with the show. What have we got in line from today?
We have some letters.
Letters!
We have one from Darth Ura.
And we can actually see what he looks like.
Yeah, he looks like... I don't know what he looks like. A Khajiit or something.
He looks like... He does look like...
He looks like Khajiit before Khajiit lost his hair.
Yeah.
Anyway, he says, I'm in school now, but I'll download it when I get home. Smiley face. Face with sunglasses on. Then he says another thing. I listened to it, and again, I wasn't disappointed. P.S. If you send GamerCast a letter or a post with one typo, you're pointed out and bashed just a little. Lol. Watch what you post. I know from experience. Face with sunglasses. Yeah, he's got one typo. P.S. is like written, no full stop at the end of that, no full stop there, needs a comma there. If you want me to get picky, I can get picky.
Yeah, don't make Paul get picky.
And then we've got another one from Imposterism.
Imposterism!
Who starts off with wow.
Wow.
Two full stops after it, there should be one.
So is he talking about World of Warcraft or is he talking about the experience of Vista?
Shut up, I'll tell you in a minute. He says, wow, two full stops. Well, that's wrong, so that's one mistake. Everyone needs a comma there, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, that's all wrong. Yeah, I'm not even reading that.
He says,
It needs a comma, it needs to lose the exclamation mark. And you have...
Shall
well,
I just read
comma.
The letter?
Yeah, just read it.
Wow, I never thought Sony would be this bad with their next-gen console. I feel sad because I've been behind. I feel sad because I've been behind PlayStation since it came out. I never thought it would be topped by Nintendo. I give a hand to Microsoft though.
Sting at the end of your arm.
How smoothly the 360 went. I'm still getting my PS3 for Metal Gear Solid 4 though.
Gear Solid 4 should be in capitals. It's a name.
That took up most of my time. I'm waiting for the next one. Thanks, guys. All I can say is, don't buy a PS3 just yet, and don't buy Metal Gear Solid 4 just yet, because the people that make Metal Gear Solid 4 aren't entirely happy, and they're considering putting it on the 360.
Exactly. So if nobody buys it on the PS3, they've released it on the 360.
Which means you'll just get it on the 360, which is like... pure cheese.
Cheese? What the hell are you babbling about?
I had cheese on toast. And I also got the blender and I just poured in a pint of milk, an entire litre of ice cream.
Catherine says they're called Konami.
Thank you, Konami. I know what it looks like, but I can never pronounce it.
Konami?
Konami.
They're the people who have been bought by Microsoft. April Fools.
Damn it.
Oh wait, it's still March.
I got a pint of milk, a full litre of vanilla ice cream and several scoops of Maltesers and just blended it into loads of pieces.
Yuck.
And then drank it. So I'm on a chocolate high and then I had cheese on toast, so I'm kind of freaking out here.
Don't do that.
Okay, what's next?
So that's our feedback. If you want to send us your feedback, we encourage lots of feedback because we like to pick faults in people's spelling but and stuff.
He doesn't do it all the time, and if you think that you can start posting your English essays, and he'll start correcting them.
Yeah, I'll sort out your English essays if you need it. If you need me to do anything.
We'll do them online.
I'll do them in Gamercast. That'll go down well.
But they said on Gamercast this was spelt correctly. No. Some English teacher beats the crap out of their chart. You're not correct. I don't give a damn about Gamercast. Anyway.
Oh man, that'd be awesome.
We get some kids in trouble. Right, next.
Hang on. We tell people how to send us their feedback.
Okay, carry on.
You can send us your feedback by visiting our website at gamercast.net.
Mm-hmm.
From there, you will find like a thing to put comments, and you can type things.
For the show.
And then they get posted onto the website.
Mm-hmm.
The other way is using email. Email is a recently new technology where you can send words and even spelling mistakes to other people over the internet.
Best way to categorize it is if you want to say a comment just like praise or saying good show.
Hey, dude, don't interrupt me when I'm doing a funny voice.
You always interrupt me, so I'm talking now. Anything to do with that particular episode, post it on the website. You can continuously farting there.
What?
I'm
going to sleep. Leave me alone.
Okay. If you want to send us any information or ask us any questions, or it's kind of like, dude, I found this out. It's really cool. Here's a link.
Dude, I found the released Postman Pat again. Oh my god.
On the win. On the PlayStation 3. So email that to us. And then if you want to just discuss anything we've mentioned or talk about anything else, go to Portal Forums.
Yeah, the forums are good because that's where like most people leave their feedback nowadays.
Yeah.
Which is good because it saves me having to moderate all the posts on the blog.
Mm. Blog's good for the episode. Post is good for everything else. And if you want to email us anything personally specific, you don't want anyone else to read and you just want us to read it out on the show and you don't want anyone to know about it till that show, email it to us. Because obviously email, no one will read it but us.
Yeah, man. Hardcore.
Yo.
Right. Next up,
Transformers Robots in Disguise.
Why would a robot need to be in disguise?
Because he's shy. The Transformers are shy. Shy like hedgehogs, and they're like, quick, transform and roll up into a ball. Look, I got my head up my own armpit. Ah!
Lame.
I love Transformers. I still gotta bring the mine over. Look at that. They've released a new official screenshot of the Transformers.
That Transformer just looks crap.
Bumblebee, from the looks of it, just because it's yellow and you can see a car door.
Bumblebee because it says Bumblebee there.
Alright, so he said at the bottom what it's for. Stop. It's not ready yet. Right, Transformers the game.
This is Adam translating a website.
Gameplay information based on the console and PC versions. Based on the DreamWorks Pictures Paramount upcoming action film Transformers about the Autobots and the Decepticons.
So that's the 360 screenshot, isn't it?
I would have thought so. Key features.
What it says, sir?
Destroy more than meets the eye. Playground crushing topping. Was going to continue to read, but he's taken the webpage off, so I can't read anything.
Oh shit! Sorry.
Yeah,
I didn't realize you were reading that.
Variety of combat, yada yada yada. I'm sure we'll go into this more detail at a later time when I can get around to reading it, but from the looks of things, the PlayStation portable features are 20 playable Autobots and Decepticons, full action films, yada yada yada, published by Activision, which is normal for anything the film developers, and it is developed by Traveler's Tales for the PS3, Xbox 360, Wii, PS2 and PC. Savage will be doing the PSP version, and what's that word?
Vicarious Visions.
Vicarious Visions will be doing the DS version, so it'll be taking the film license, but they'll be doing their own different versions of it.
Traveller's Tales, what did they do? They did, what's it called? Lego Star Wars.
Yeah, so that shouldn't be too bad. Which means that they'll all be ports of each other. The only thing that'll be different is
that's 360 graphics now.
Yeah, it's looking incredibly cool. I'm liking it. So, obviously.
So, we're doing a next gen thing, so a old gen thing. Well, we should stop calling it next gen as well. It's this gen.
Yeah.
We need to stop doing that, man.
Now, this generation, PS3 and Xbox 360 will be getting the high graphics end with the PC. PlayStation 2 will be getting the bummed end ones with the graphics turned off, and the Wii will get in between, but then it will probably have a weird groovy stuff with the controller.
Groovy!
Groovy!
Right, so what else is there? We've also got SimCity GS coming this summer. So that's kind of cool. SimCity 2000 is available on Pocket PC, and it's quite good, quite playable. So the DS version looks similar to that, really, except you've got two screens, one like underground or like your zones or something, and then one above ground.
Yeah, it looks like it's your interface to click on stuff and do stuff, and then the graphical side.
Oh yeah, of course. With the Pocket PC, you can use a touchscreen over the whole screen, unlike the DS where you're limited to just half of it. Catherine also says they're releasing Theme Park on the DS as well. Theme Park. So that's good. That's coming this summer sort of time.
EA brings SimCity to the Nintendo.
It'll be based off of SimCity 3000. So that's good, because SimCity 3000 added waste disposal.
Right. Cast your mind back to a previous episode. The one
which previous one? We've done 60 other episodes.
One other than the one, not one we're doing now.
That narrows it down to the 60, I just said.
The one where Catherine went on about that new Sim-style game that's coming out that's all Japanese-style-y with the square heads and everything like that we saw when we played a video of it.
Yeah.
Read a review about it in the new Nintendo magazine. It's called My Sims. And it's being created by EA in Japan, the Japan department. And it looks like it's going to be a amalgamation of the best bits of Animal Crossing, The Sims, and Harvest Moon.
Harvest Moon.
So it looks like it might be a good game that's coming out. It's got a big Japanese flair for it, so it does look really cool. But you can still see the quirkiness of, like, it shows the character creation, and it's still a character stood in front of the mirror. So it's very Sims, but it's a bit more style.
Theme Park. According to Catherine, is coming out on the 23rd of March as well. So
cool.
Just because we mentioned that as well. What else is there? You know what? I forgot to put something on the show notes. I'll save it for later, though.
Put it down now and I will close.
No. I will show you later.
Can you remember?
Yes.
Because you do forget sometimes.
It was in my brain, ready to show you, because it involves me having to do lots of things.
Okay.
So when it's lots of things, my brain remembers. When it's writing it down on a crappy little OneNote, then, you know. Yeah, so you can either get the PlayStation 3 or you can get Theme Park on the DS. I think I know what I'd rather get.
Yeah, I know what I probably would get.
So yeah, that's a comment from Catherine on the chat room. See, this is why when people join the chat room, they can comment on the show.
Right. Nobody's saying anything in the chat room.
Catherine is. That is the chat room.
Yeah. But no one else is saying anything. We need to get more people in there.
Yeah, man. Where's Zelio, man?
Zelio. Must get more with Zelio.
Anyway.
Your chair keeps squeaking. It needs
some oil.
Yeah, you need a bit of WD-40. Bring out the WD-40.
You're not a Transformer, man. You don't need...
Transformers, robots in disguise. It'd be like Excite Truck, and you kind of wave the controller up and down, and you try to pull a muscle in your armpit, and you transform into a robot, and you're like, transform, transform! Start shaking it.
Right, anyway.
Yeah.
Grand Theft Auto 4 trailer coming on the 29th of March.
Ooh.
So that's kind of cool.
Yeah, so I wonder where it's going to be this time. How big is the world going to be for them to...
Have it in Fraggle Rock, man.
Down to Fraggle Rock. Grab a Fraggle.
You could be one of those little green dudes who like build stuff.
Doozers.
Yeah, man, you could be one of those.
In a doozer in a dump truck.
So anyway, be on the lookout later this month for that. That'll be our PlayStation 3, Xbox 360 game. It's coming out. When's it coming out? October 17th.
Something like that.
Yeah, something like that. Also in the news, EA,
Electronic Arts,
and Apple Computer Incorporated have teamed up to basically make available EA's rubbish soundtracks from their games, dubbed EA Tracks.
So
cool, man. No.
They're basically trying to sell on their tracks that they pay money for so that you can pay more money to download them.
Yeah.
Where most of the time, most of the tracks are actually songs that you probably could buy off an album or download off iTunes anyway. So it'll be all the, just the standard music. Not
so it's like stuff from FIFA and Burnout and stuff like that.
Which isn't taken from an album. Yeah, okay, that makes sense.
So yeah, it's good seeing EA and Apple work together like this, because they're both crap companies, and yeah.
And all I can say is, two wrongs don't make a right. So you can tell that's going to fail.
But some major news in Gameland. Well, it's not really major, because who cares? Capcom have licensed the Unreal Engine. So it's yet another developer / publisher licensing the Unreal Engine. So eventually everything is just going to look exactly the same, all using the same engine. It'll be one engine to rule them all.
The good thing about it is like I was saying to Paul earlier when we were looking at this.
Ooh, I've got some fan fiction for Oblivion just dropped in my inbox.
Unreal normally are like, right, we need to make the new engine, and they'll design the engine, bring it out, and all they do is make a game where geeks can run around with large guns in a sport where they blow each other's heads off in loads
it's
of beer.
It's called Unreal Tournament.
Exactly. Great thing about it is it doesn't need much to be good. It's there, pow, it's done, people like it for what it is, and it looks absolutely amazing. At the same time, most of the money for Unreal will be made out of the fact that the Unreal game will sell on the engine. So it's kind of like, look at our engine, this is what it can do, watch it play Unreal Tournament, do you like it, come buy it. So other people, companies will say, we like that engine, we want to spend more time developing all the cool stuff that we want to play on and not have to spend all the time building an engine that looks nice. They can just use their engine, shove on all the bells and whistles, pay for someone else's work, and pow, they've got a really nice game.
The bad thing with that is you do have to pay for it.
Yeah, you do have to pay for the Unreal Engine, but when you've got companies like Capcom, which are like, all we got to do is spend a little time on working on the other stuff to add on to the Unreal Engine, pay a dump of money, they get it back in return, so they don't have to spend all that money in development to get an engine of their own.
But this brings up an interesting point. Id Software used to be the big, heavy engine provider.
Mm.
Well, it really started, I suppose, with the first game that comes to my mind was the Quake 1 engine.
Mm.
Quake 1 engine was used for Team Fortress. But the big game that used that was the Half-Life 1.
Yeah.
Half-Life 1was, I mean, that must have made it loads of money. I mean, it bought a lot of... I remember at a time there was a huge debate over which engine did they use, Quake 1 or Quake 2. And people just said, oh, it must be Quake 2. But it wasn't. It only had about 10 lines from the Quake 2 engine in it.
Yeah.
Because Valve did so much modification to it. But then it happened with Quake 3 engine, which was massively successful.
Mm.
You had Medal of Honor, Call of Duty.
Yeah.
A bunch of other games I can't remember. And, it, you know, it didn't matter that Quake 3, a lot of people didn't like it. I thought it was amazing. If you want a deathmatch, Quake 3.
It was a different aspect for the game because it allowed the single player to have a little bit more. Quake has got a little bit too close to Unreal with a sense of with Quake 3 Arena. It just ended up being like more about the multiplayer, and it took away from the story of what the whole game was designed about.
Well, Quake 3 and Unreal Tournament were in development at the same time.
Yeah. So to go back to Quake...
That was when multiplayer was the next thing.
Mm.
You had multiplayer in like Quake 1. Well, even in Doom, you had multiplayer. 14.4K modem, yeah. But really with Quake 2, Half-Life came out, multiplayer took off.
Mm.
It became like mainstream to play multiplayer games. So it was obvious that they were going to, you know, exploit that.
Mm.
And
it was
do
nice
multiplayer games.
With the latter one, it's nice that they brought it back to allow you to have that. Quake 4 being able to have a more story based in there, because
well, yeah, they wanted to continue off from where Quake 2 left.
Because after the release of Halo and Halo 2 and the soon release Halo 3, they realized that first-person shooters can be story-driven. And if you make them well enough with some really interesting cutscenes that are there keeping you in the actions, you're not having to load, and pow, you're back in again, with a few voiceovers, you can feel like you're in depth into the action, which creates a nice atmosphere for a first-person shooter.
Yeah, but the trouble with that is a lot of people concentrate too much on the story, and the story just ends up sucking.
Unlike Halo.
A lot of the plots in a lot of first-person shooters are just a waste of time, really.
Yeah, some of it's just to keep you interested, whereas some people
just...
It just
annoys me. If you're not going to have a decent story, don't bother having one at all, and just say, yeah, we're hardcore gameplay now.
Which is the reason the storyline behind Unreal Tournament. The concept is you're a team in a tournament where you get to blow each other's heads off, a bit like Running Man sort of thing, and you just go in there with your aliens or humans or whatever form you're in, and you just headshot.
Yeah, nice sound effects.
Headshot.
But yeah, I mean, I think this demonstrates one of the key reasons that the Unreal Engine is so successful compared to which was traditionally the dominant engine in the marketplace. They worked with DirectX and Direct3D. And what Microsoft did with that is they just plowed that so far ahead of OpenGL. You know, it's just a shame it didn't
jump on the bandwagon when it...
Well, it's just a shame John Carmack didn't realize that, yeah, you need to do it in Direct3D. Sure, it would make it porting to Linux and Macintosh a lot harder. So what?
Yeah.
Yeah, we need some new stuff from id Software. Come on, release Sonic. At least tell us what you're working on. Not just another rehash of Wolfenstein or whatever. Something new.
New, fresh, and up there with it.
Because I've been playing Doom 3 lately.
Yeah.
Awesome game. It's just so atmospheric. And it's just a shame Resurrection of Evil, which is what I'm playing at the moment, wasn't as good as Doom 3. Because it had the stupid gravity gun, or grabber, and a bunch of other stuff, and it just give me a shotgun.
I don't want the bigger, better gun.
You had the stupid heart, which slowed everything down. Get rid of that. Don't need that. Then you had the stupid grabber gun, which was... Well, gee, let's copy Half-Life's gravity gun. Get rid of that. Keep the double-barreled shotgun. And you're sorted. You know, all these extra things are just annoying. Just give me the guns. Not the stupid slow everything down and then try and dodge through this maze really quickly. That's just annoying. So yeah, less of the gimmicky gameplay features. Thank you. Right. Final Fantasy VII.
Tell me more.
Catherine and Charlotte on their trek to the launch, Final Fantasy XII launch. Last week or the week before, whenever it was. Someone asked if Square were going to do another... We're going to remake number 7. And they basically said, we're not doing one at the moment, but we will consider it when we have number 13 out of the way. So that's good for all you Final Fantasy VII hardcore fans.
There are some Final Fantasy VII games coming out, but unfortunately one of them has been released on PlayStation 2, which is not Final Fantasy VII. It's based off Final Fantasy VII Advent Children, and is about... the guy in the red jacket, I can't remember which one, with a gun. They brought out a few mobile phone games, and there's going to be some animes that are based off it.
Let's try and make some money.
But it's all a bit of a swing and some roundabouts about Advent Children. But yeah, it'd be nice to see it being remade.
But yeah, remake. Because wasn't some of the PlayStation 3 footage they showed the Final Fantasy VII intro video? Am I right in thinking that?
They remade the intro to Final Fantasy VII using all the models from the Final Fantasy Advent Children, which were all CG, and then just played it on a PlayStation 3, so it was a load of bull.
Okay, yeah.
And a lot...
That's what started a lot of this.
Yeah. To be honest, I would like Square Enix, because of their unhappiness with Sony and the fact that they've done so well in Japan and now in America with the release of Final Fantasy 3 on the DS, that if they are going to release it, it'd be nice if either they pick another format, either on the Wii or which a Final Fantasy game would work well on because it's just menu system, or they release it on 360 or multi-release, and actually go through it and re-release all the stories again in 3D. Re-release 7, 8 and 9 in the graphics that are more common. But instead of doing a big rehash, just release all of them and get everybody playing them again. But get them playing on consoles other than Sony so people can get them. Because Final Fantasy originated on the Nintendo. It was only after 6 that 7 it went out onto thank you. Blinded has just come in and said, can you read that out?
I can't read that.
Darg of Celebrus. It's based on the story about Vincent. That's it, Vincent.
Vincent who?
He's the guy with the red cape and the gun. He's quite cool.
Red cape.
From Final Fantasy VII. But he's based off him, how he looks in Advent Children. But yeah, it'd be nice if they released, because they've done it with Resident Evil, with Capcom, to be able to release it on something other than a Sony console.
Sony, man, that's the last thing we need around here.
Exactly. So
this is a strictly Sony no-go area.
Some Final
Unless
Fantasy...
Sony offer to pay me loads of money. No, I won't accept a PlayStation 3 as payment, because I wouldn't have one of those for nothing anyway. Right.
Well, we'd do a Sony-only show for a week if they gave us a PlayStation 3, because then at the end of it, we could blow up the PlayStation 3.
Deal. What I said to Damien, he should give me is a PlayStation 3, he should donate it. Or was that Rudis? I can't remember. I was talking to one of them today.
Oh, Rudis can get one as well, is he?
No, I tried to flog Rudis one so that he could donate it to Gamercast. But he didn't seem too keen on that idea.
Right, one of my reviews?
Yeah, go for it.
Right, as from last episode, when we talked about the release of Final Fantasy XII, I got hold of Final Fantasy III on the DS, imported from America. Picked it up from a nice little shop that I normally get my video games from in Wales.
In the United Kingdom, thank you very much.
Yes, exactly.
Gamercast does not support the separatists. Carry on.
I shall do indeed. Initial opening of the box, it was lusciously Final Fantasy as usual. Starting up, nice bit of music which I was playing on the last episode, which is the video for it, full CG FMV, like since they started doing for Final Fantasy VII onwards, and then the remakes of 1, 2 and 4, 5 and 6, they put CG opening sequences in, which were never there on the original NES and SNES releases
because you couldn't do it.
This because they've had to rehash the whole game and just base it off it, which would be nice if they did it with all of them now. It was a real nice opening sequence. It gave real sense that this is still the same Final Fantasy III game, because Final Fantasy III all started off with the whole, you know, you had a knight, a thief, red mage, blue mage, black mage, white mage, and a knight and dragon.
A dragon.
A dragon knight, which was a guy with a spear and stuff like that. And it was all kind of that fantasy style.
It was like the old school fantasy games with all these weird little things.
And all of that stopped at 6, and a new version came out with Final Fantasy 7. The great thing about this is you can go back to the same look as Final Fantasy 7, 8 and 9, yet you're still playing on the old rule system that they were doing for that Final Fantasy game. The ability to put some different items in each hand. So I've noticed with people talking about what you can do in Final Fantasy 12 with being able to actually have a bow again, you can see that the development from remaking 3 has influenced some of the weapon aspects of 12. One thing that was always been aspect on the Nintendo side of stuff was the fact you could put a bow in one hand and arrows in the other and shoot people from the back. You didn't necessarily, the guy that had the sword didn't have to have the sword. If you wanted, you could have two swords, or then give him a dagger or two daggers or a knife and whatever, a mace. You know, you could change the weapons, and the fact you can change the weapons in gameplay, a lot of the characters in later Final Fantasy games were actually very static on what they were doing. It's like in 7, never played 8 much, but 7 it was, you know, Cloud always had a sword, Barrett always had his handgun, that was his hand was chopped off and he had a gun for it. Same with 9, everybody had their set role But in the first Final Fantasy, no one had a set role. You picked four characters, you said what their jobs were, and you gave them names. No one actually had a name. Where in the latter ones, you barely can change the names because of the voices being added on for the PlayStation 2 versions. I must admit, going back to the three, the game system is absolutely lush. You get your standard battle system where you stand up in a line. As soon as you tell them what to do, if they're going to fight, they'll draw their weapons.
Turn-based combat is so last century.
I've just had someone say, actually, you can't change their names.
That someone is Catherine. Be polite.
I couldn't read the name because it was too far up. Yeah,
too far,
I said.
It's five lines up.
Yeah, I said that. They can't change your names in 12 or anything like that. From 10 to 12, you can't, unfortunately, because of the fact that people's names are mentioned in verbal text.
Well, in Microsoft's golf game, Lynx, you can change the name because it's got loads of people saying like loads of different names.
Same in the hockey and stuff like that.
So yeah, you can have your golfer called Godzilla, and the guy will say Godzilla has just hit the ball. Although I don't know if they've actually got Godzilla. Because Godzilla is probably not a very common name.
No. Ability to walk around on the game. It's very nice. Graphically, it works well with the dual screen. You don't get any of this when you were walking around on the previous PlayStation Final Fantasy 7, 8 and 9. You had the groovy little see-through green map that was really hard to figure out where you are. Now you just get a static map that sits on the top screen. Which makes life a little bit easier. Through most of the game, the top screen will either have a map or it will just be blacked out, but when you actually bring up the menu, it dumps the main screen up onto the top screen, so you can still see your character while you're flicking through the menu system.
Oh, that's cool.
Menu system's still classic, the blue drop down, pick what you want to say. Because of the fact that it's the old game, it's nice to be able to go back to some of the systems where you had the jobs. This has been mentioned a few times in other Final Fantasy games later on, with X2 had a job system, but it was just rotating around the different job areas. And there's licenses I've heard that have been put into Final Fantasy 12 for different weapons.
You get an AK-47?
Don't know what you can get. Well, it's an old school weaponry, so it's big swords and bows and arrows and stuff.
No wonder they get pwned.
But in the earlier ones on the Nintendo,
deploy some tactical nukes, man. We'll soon deal with them.
I think it was 4 and 5. You could actually get jobs. You got a job, and you would be like a thief or a knight, or whatever.
Well,
so
thieves have jobs.
So your clothing would change, and that would
change
your weapon.
Hey, what's your job?
Usage.
I'm a thief. I get around nicking stuff because I don't have a job.
Well, yeah, the Thieves Guild in Oblivion.
Yeah, they weren't employed, though, were they? They just like hung out at this place and said, yeah, I'm going to steal stuff.
I'm going to follow this guy around the back and beat him over the head with a large vegetable.
Yeah, let's do that.
Oh,
that'd be a cool game. Grand Theft Auto 4. You go into like a grocery store and just beat people up with fruit and veg.
Take this cucumber through the eye. What else can I say? As far as I've played it, storyline, really nice.
So it's the same story as the thing before.
Yeah, it's exactly the same story as 3. They based it off that of what's happening and what was going on, but they just remake it.
So in other words, it's called a remake.
Yeah, remake. Some of the writing is slightly different because you have to remember this was never translated, this version. And
then they realised all their like mistakes in it.
Yeah.
Oh look, we've accidentally called that guy there Bob Dude. When his name should be Dude Bob. That's the only sort of thing she would get from public release.
Story, I'm very happy with. Can get on with it really well. I'm stuck at the moment trying to find the skeleton key to open a doorway.
I'll find it.
I'll tell you what, I'm making that, it's a good game. For something on the DS, it's absolutely amazing. One of the things that I do like is it's got a quick save, so you can just in the middle of a battle say quick save. And you can shut it down, put it back in your pocket, and be getting off the train or wherever you're doing. And then you can come back to it, and it's there and then. But as soon as you unquick save, that's it. That quick save is gone, and you have to do another quick save to turn it off again, unless you get back to the world map and you actually save the game properly. So that's nice.
Quick save is good.
You don't feel like you've got to, you know,
got to play it more than you need to.
Yeah. So I'd say out of 5, I would definitely give this a
2.
4.5 or a 5.
What? Out of 5, you can't do 4.5, okay?
5.
Right. Catherine wanted to know where in Wales.
Right. I'll say this. There's no point me trying to really show
closer
people,
to the microphone.
Tell people how to get to this shop, but Catherine pretty much will know how to get here. If you go to
Fraggle Rock,
Cardiff.
I know where Cardiff is.
Yeah, because she's in Newport. Get the train to Cardiff, and then get onto the Valley Line system and catch a train that goes through to Treforest and Pontypridd. And if you get off at
that's north, you're heading north.
Yeah, they're going up into the valleys. If you go up to Ponty and get off at that stop, as soon as you get off the train station and you come out, you will notice in front of you, slightly to the right, is a Wetherspoons, and then to the left, the street goes off into the high street, and you can follow it down. Just keep following all the way down the high street. Eventually, you'll come past the game station on the right. Just keep going. Keep going until you find the Summerfield on the left-hand side. You already would have passed by this point Iceland's on the right-hand side. Keep going. You'll find Summerfield on the left-hand side as you're going down this road. And opposite Summerfield is a shop that sells video games and they unlock mobile phones. They've said sell BB guns and loads of stuff.
So they're a weird store which does...
And they sell more video games than anything else. You go in there and they've got loads of import stuff. They've even got a Japanese PlayStation 3 in there. That's where I saw it. So, yeah, and laughed at it. So, yeah, I'd say, especially while you're up there, Catherine, go down and get yourself a copy. It's $39.99.
What a rip-off.
But for an import, I was happy to pay the price. One thing I'd like to add on it...
A copy with no warranty.
There is a zoom feature on Final Fantasy, so you can hit one of the top shoulder buttons and you can zoom in. That allows you to look for anything that's sparkly, that says that there's something might be there.
Sparkly.
So you can go up to a barrel, click on it if it's sparkling, and you'll get something out of it or whatever. So she says she'll wait for it to come out here.
Oh, right.
I like my coffee.
Hang on, are you reviewing like dodgy games on my show?
Yeah. We're reviewing them ahead of schedule.
You should like build connections and links, man. We should get the game sent to us.
So,
what's the name of the store?
God,
the Android Dungeon.
I never even look at it. It's something game, something store. I can't remember exactly.
Game store.
But you can't miss it. It is opposite Summerfield, and there is only one Summerfield. Ponty is really small, so if you get down into Ponty and ask someone where Summerfield is.
All right. So now you're going to talk about Sonic.
And the secret rings. Sega. I used to love playing Sonic. I'm gonna download it on my Wii. Ooh, what
are you pirating games for your Wii?
No.
Bet you are.
Sonic. What are you doing?
I'm seeing if I have the emulator around here. But I must have deleted it.
Right. Sonic the Secret Rings. Well, where shall I begin? It is
a Sonic game. Sonic is that blue hedgehog dude who really rocked in the first two games and it went downhill.
In this one, it's in the based in the Sonic universe as it is, the world where they live.
The weird Sonic universe with the planet
Nebulon. Or whatever it's called.
Mobius,
that's it, Mobius.
Which orbits exactly opposite to the Earth. So the Earth can never see Mobius because Mobius is always behind the sun. The trouble with that sort of orbit is it'll only be stable for a few hundred years. And then one of the planets would just fall out of the orbit. So, BS.
Yeah.
There is no such thing as the planet Mobius. So all those nutcases out there who claim it exists, you're wrong. And if it does exist, it can't exist the way it does because orbital mechanics just won't allow it to be directly opposite the Earth. Mm. Like, you know, no way, man. No way.
So, with this one, it's based on that, but the game is not set in there. The storyline is...
Could it be called Power Games and Computers?
Yes, it could be.
It could be. That narrows it down.
No, that does. Power Games and Computers does sound familiar. That might be it. There are only three computer game shops in Ponzi. One of them just sells PCs and builds them. The other one is Game Station, and the other one is the place where I got it from. So there's only those three to pick from. So it's not hard to miss.
Fun.
Hey,
look, we've got like loads of people listening live. We've got 40 people listening live.
Sweet. Hello, how are you? Devil are you? Get in the chat room.
Just get on with your Sonic review.
Okay, sorry.
Slap.
Some genie pops out and says, can you come and help me? I'm from the book of the Arabian... You know the book called The Arabian Nights, which is about Aladdin and all of that?
Man. The intro for Aladdin was cool.
Well...
With the funny guy.
They ask Sonic to help in the book, and they give Sonic a ring, which is what the magic ring you'll see on his finger. When he gets hold of that, he rubs it and he can make a wish, and he makes a wish to have himself transported into the book. Because there's an evil genie that's deleting the book. He's stealing the words.
Isn't this exactly like the never-ending story with the... what was it called? The
Probably.
Nothing? What a rip-off, man.
Yeah. But anyway, that's the basis of it. So he goes into the Arabian Nights. So it's all that Arabian Nights sort of feel, Aladdin. And all the
no
main... all the main
characters... If I wanted to play Aladdin, I'd just play Aladdin.
The main characters... You know that... Have you ever seen Disney's Aladdin?
Yeah.
With a genie. You know the little... Sultan, the little white guy who's always looking stuff, and he looked really stupid with a big beard. Well, all the characters like that are actually played by people that Sonic knows. So that one's got that guy's played by Dr. Robotnik. So Sonic tries to attack him, but then realizes he's not actually Robotnik. He's actually the Sultan. But from his perspective, because it's a story, people that may look like those characters.
Jafar.
No, not Jafar. Jafar was the bad guy. It's the
little guy.
It's the little guy with the white beard, who's the Sultan. But anyway, that's the kind of storyline. You're in the book and you've got to save everything. You also get attacked by the genie, and it's the chubby dude. It's really small chubby dude in the white all the time with the turban.
Osama bin Laden.
Basically, Sonic saves his genie that he's got on his ring by being shot by this fireball. And that's what, if you see on any of the graphics for Sonic game, you'll see this little flame by his heart. He's been shot in the chest by this flame.
He's a Care Bear!
And if he doesn't collect the all seven sacred rings, he will die by the end of the game.
Archies.
Yeah, exactly. So, but he uses it to make himself boost faster. That's the basic storyline. Game-wise, what they've done is they've added in these unlockable add-ons for Sonic where you can boost yourself up, and those add on to the ring that he wears. And you can customize up to four different rings.
Ooh,
you can
cool,
choose
man.
One.
You can trip out your ring and have it souped up with spoilers and lights.
So, yeah. So your ring does different
and
things.
Speed holes.
Make you go faster or make you go slower, collect more rings, do different things. I haven't got luck through all of them, but at the moment I got one that gives me a ring bonus, pick up these pearl lights which you need for your soul gauge, which I haven't got yet, the ability to jump backwards faster, because it is a game where you're going forwards, but if you hold the Wii remote backwards, you can go in reverse to pick something up. But the whole concept is to go extremely fast. Now, when you first play this game, you'll be thinking, what the hell is Adam going on about? This game is slow as anything. Because when you play this game, if you went as fast as Sonic is capable in the later levels, you'll run into every bloody wall and you'll never have a chance to press jump. In this, when you go to press jump, instead of just going doing, doing, you can do that to jump over small things, but in this, you hit jump, Sonic will crouch and he'll skid to a stop, and he's literally like fires coming under his feet, and then he will jump up in the air and you have to throw your hand forward quickly to do a super dash to go forwards. And you can target onto bad guys, and you can just keep going with your Wii remote forwards and attacking bad guys. Speed-wise, I must admit, I haven't got to the top speed. I'm nowhere near it, but even now it's still fast. And the ability to be able to move left to right on the track of ability to where to go. And if you force yourself going too far left or too far right, it gives you the option of choosing different routes. Like when you used to play the original platform game where you had multiple routes going up and down the level on the screen of where to go to. It's the same with this, but it's more left and right. I must admit, this is the pure 3D version of the Sonic game. Run really fast, get to your end of your level, collect as many rings as you can, and defeat bad guys on the way. And you just get to the end, and that's the whole concept of it. You can redo a lot of the levels again and again and again when it gives you different missions saying, you got to do this one and collect 90 rings. Do this one and not break a pot. They'll put these pots around, and you've got to dodge them and not run into them at high speed.
I can handle that, man. Dodging pots.
That was some of the... There's loads of different things. So the game is replayable. You keep playing it again and again to a lot more stuff. The ability to be able to go left and right with Sonic using the Wii Remote is very intuitive. Hard at first, but once you get the hang of it, you really do feel that rush of being able to run really fast, which is all about Sonic. A lot of people are like, well, why can't you just have a button to run? But it's like, at the end of the day, you'd be playing this game with your thumb on the button constantly. There's no need. So instead, if you want to stop, you put your thumb on the brake button and Sonic will come to a stop, standstill, and just stand still until you let your foot off, and then he'll run again. Because I must admit, most people, when playing Sonic the Hedgehog, they always had the thumb on one end of the D-pad constantly and just kept tapping the jump button. And that's what you do in this. Instead, they said, well, let's just make Sonic automated. He'll run.
Yeah, let's just automate the whole game, so it's just a film.
You're still controlling where he goes. It's just now you need a button to stop, not a button to go. But, no, I was quite impressed. I must admit...
So what's his idle animation, then?
Idle animation?
Yeah. You know, like in the 2D ones, and possibly the 3D ones, if you left him for a while, he'd, like, start tapping his foot, lie down and stuff like that.
I haven't made him stand still for long enough to actually get anything idle. The fact that you're having to hold the button 2, because you hold the Wii controller sideways like you would in a sight truck, and you use button 2 to stand still, button 1 to stand still in crouch position. When you let go, you'll do a jump, and then you can jerk the controller forwards to do a dash. But no, I must admit, I haven't tried that yet. I might give that a go and see what happens if I make him stand still for too long. There's the classic Japanese rock pop in there, so if you can't hack that, you know, change the options and cut the music off. As well, his voice can get a bit annoying if you don't like that sort of thing, but I must admit, I like Sonic on the Dreamcast, so for me, this is...
No thanks.
I like this game. It's very much me.
Is it the same as like a Dreamcast and the newer voices?
Similar, yeah, it's that sort of voice.
Is it the same voice?
I couldn't tell you because it's been a while since I played those versions. But, no, I must admit, I was quite impressed with it. To be honest, for me, I prefer to have Sonic the Hedgehog run around fast and press jump than playing something like a Psych Truck. No, fair enough, I've never played it, but some of these racing games seems a bit... Psych Truck just seems like one of these games you want to own because it was one of the release titles they were gibbering on about that was really cool. But, no, I'm impressed. I won't get rid of it, and I'll keep playing it because I like Sonic the Hedgehog, and it'll get better and better and better as you go along. But, yeah, someone said, do they still have the crappy voices? They're not anything special. They're just voices. It's Sonic
you
the
need,
Hedgehog.
You need the voices from the good cartoon.
But you have to make the judgment for yourself on it. One thing I will say is the first part of the game is a tutorial to explain how the control system works, because it is very unique to the Wii and to Sonic. It's the first time they've ever built one like this. So you have to put up with going really slow, load a level, you won some points, and then you reload a level. Oh, this is how you jump, you reload it. They could have done it all in one go, and that's the only thing that I can complain about. Once you get past that level and you get onto the proper ones, you start to get a feel of what it's like. You will find yourself dying a lot, the same as like Sonic, you start running into shit. I'm trying to get past the level where I keep running into a flipping giant cactus and I can't jump over it because I run too damn fast around the corner. And I keep forgetting the cactus is there. And I can't stop quick enough. But, you know, I'm very impressed. There's the other cool thing about it, they've added lots of bonuses on there, so you can go look at all the videos, the video for the opening sequence. There's lots of artwork, history of Sonic, and loads of bits and bobs to unlock. Party games. Now, there is party games on it.
Ooh.
I was a bit disappointed. They're not that great. To be honest, you want party games? Buy Rayman. Buy Monkey Ball. Use Wii Sports. Much better. They're all right. Sonic party games. Have a bit of a play. But it seemed a little bit overcomplicated for what I wanted to do. I picked it up, tried to play something, and I was doing this thing where I was stood in something that looks like an alley in Aladdin, and we were all of the classic characters from Sonic the Hedgehog, we all stood on barrels with bows, and we were shooting arrows at balloons that were floating up. And it just seemed a little bit too hard to control, and I was kind of like, ooh. And I'd already heard on review that the party games were pretty crap. But,
dude,
to be honest, I think they just threw them in there because they wanted it to be
one-player game. Every game must have party games.
Yeah,
it's Wii, man.
It's getting a little bit OTT. They need to be making party games only and then other games that are a bit
Fusion
more innocent.
Frenzy 2, I would review it if I had a copy.
Mm, definitely.
So if somebody wants to buy me a copy, I'll review.
But
I'm looking at you, Microsoft.
Single player, it is a good game. If you want to be able to play Sonic and run extremely fast compared to any others, there are some moments where the camera work goes dodgy, where it jumps in front of you. Unlike the 3D Sonic that was released on the 360, which meant that you had to automatically judge which direction you had to put the thumbstick so that you didn't go in another direction, doesn't happen because you've got no thumbstick to say forwards. Sonic will always run forwards, all you've got to do is just left and right. Also means if you're facing him, you do not have to do the opposite controls with the Wii remote, leaning him left or right. You just do what's right, and he will turn right from his perspective, and it's quite easy to pick up. Most of these moments when the camera angle turns, just keep running in a straight line, and he'll do all the turning around corners. So, I liked it. I like the fact that I can just play Sonic and run around extremely fast. It's my childhood dream. So, for me, it's good, but there are better games out there.
Okay, on with some decent stuff now.
Out of 5, I would give it a 3.
Right, Supreme Commander.
Supreme Commander.
There's been 2 patches released that I know of.
Is this to do that Uber thing that you're about to tell me later?
Yeah, this is the Uber thing now.
The bit that you forgot to write down?
No, this is a different thing.
Okay, so you still got that to come.
Yeah.
Is that going
to
be last?
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to that.
It's going to be good. Supreme Commander patch, they've removed the CD check from the game.
What, so you don't have to put the CD anymore?
Yeah. Thank you, for God's sake, we're so fed up of bloody CD checks.
Awooga. Awooga.
So yeah, I mean, it's really good that, I mean, I suppose it was gas powered who drove that forward, but yeah, good one.
No, I like that.
Because CD checks are annoying.
The game's been out long enough. They made
their
money.
Been out 2 weeks. You've made your money. Get rid of the CD check.
Exactly.
Right, on with the major news now.
So that's the only patch.
There's 2 patches. That's the latest one. Can I have a free? Right, are you ready?
Yep. The demo for Command & Conquer 3 Tiberian Wars.
Yeah, woo, it's available for download. Ooh, now it's not responding. EA for you, mate. EA.
EA Sports.
It's not EA Sports, is it?
Imagine if it came up now and it actually went EA Sports.
Yeah, we put the wrong video on it.
Oh.
Got it in a window too big for my screen. Another one of these custom EA logos. Do you want to see this?
Gonna get bridge screwed up. Breaking news.
Apparently, just moments ago, there was an accident. As long as there's Tiberium on Earth, not as a serious threat.
You cannot let this happen.
Philadelphia was only the beginning. Our forces will spread like a great plague across the Earth. Every blue zone will feel our wrath.
If Kane wants aggression, we will obey.
I can trust you, Ray.
You're not suggesting the ion cannon.
No, General, I'm not suggesting it. I'm ordering it.
The ion cannon's been engaged, sir.
On whose authority?
Some really high-profile actors in there.
Yeah. Although that's annoying.
So you've got the guy from Lost, the guy from... with the one arm from Starship Troopers. The guy who played Harvey Dent in the first Batman. Some other guys. Well, they're going to make Supreme Commander run for their money. Yeah, there's a girl from House in there. Yeah, there she is.
Oh god, this is a tutorial. Forget that. We're not doing that. But I like that noise there. That's the same noise as like the other games. So that's, we like noises like that.
Makes you feel like you're at home.
Philadelphia uplink successful. Welcome back, Commander. Today's threat level is low. The state of the planet is deteriorating. Tiberium infestation has reached
blah blah blah. Yeah, I'm not putting up like 10 hours of video.
Greetings, Commander. GDI Battle Command. Here to get you up to speed on some of the ground operations for this mission.
Establishing video uplink.
Commander, nice,
we need you to locate the old GDI outpost and investigate rumors of a Nod presence in the area.
Rendezvous point confirmed.
In pursuit of his mission, this outpost was abandoned many years ago.
Going to be on normal patrol duty. Ready for orders, Commander.
So yeah, you can download the demo. It's what?
Enemy units sighted.
1.1 gigs-ish, and it's got two single player levels, and it's got skirmish as well.
That's cool. It looks nice. It has a nice feel for it.
Yeah, it feels like Commander Con. But it ain't Supreme Commander.
Yeah, I must admit, Supreme Commander came in at a good moment.
Yeah.
Better than it come out after. Are you still going to get number 3?
Oh yeah, I'll still get it. I probably won't get it on launch, but I'll get it soon after.
Yeah, I'll wait for the price to come down because I'm really getting
Supreme Commander is so technically well done.
There's lots there to do, and the fact that
not just that, the quality of the actual code. You know, the Command & Conquer 3 demo downloads in a WinZip, you know, self extractor. It doesn't elevate for permissions, so it spends, you know, 5 minutes extracting itself, and then the setup fails because it doesn't elevate. So you have to run it again with administrative privileges when it should have just asked. So that was annoying because I had to spend an extra like 5 minutes extracting it. And then you've got the whole issue where, you know, Supreme Commander, you can resize the window and it changes the resolution in real time and all that sort of stuff, and Command & Conquer just doesn't have any of that. It does now support widescreen. That's good. And it's not cropping it like Lord of the Rings, Battle for Middle-earth and Generals. It actually does extend the field of view.
That's cool. My dad will be getting a monitor like us.
Everyone gets a monitor like me.
Although he'll have 20-inch and it won't be ultra-sharp. But it's what comes with his new Dell computer he's getting.
Has that new computer got Windows Vista on it?
He would only upgrade certain amounts. It's gone for a 2.13 Pentium Duo. 230 gig hard drive, 2 gigs of RAM.
Stick Vista on it.
And he's gone for Vista Ultimate. He was determined to have Ultimate. I think he was more determined to pay for Ultimate than actually go upgrading on his monitor. Because my dad's eyesight, a 20 inch widescreen LCD without ultra sharp, it would be fine for him.
Well, you can always scale up the graphics. If you take my tablet, I run that at like 109%. So things look a bit bigger.
You know, because what's the graphics card you got? You got ATI.
That's a Radeon 1900 XT.
And I've got the 16.
Yeah.
Or is it mine the 17, 18 or something like that?
16 yours is.
Yeah, my dad will be getting the 13. But my dad don't play video games. He plays barely anything.
Yeah, but you want some more power in there.
for what my dad wants, it's enough.
Supreme Commander. Yeah, when are you upgrading your computer? Because you need to get that sorted so we can have some like games against like six AI players.
The question I want to know is, does the code, the logon code that I've been using for my OEM copy of Vista, is that routed straight to my motherboard? So if I put another motherboard in, I won't be able to use the code again.
The license says you're allowed. It's stuck on the same machine.
But that's what I mean.
How you define machine is open to interpretation.
Because you register.
Because if
online.
Your motherboard failed and you had to buy a new one, it's technically the same machine.
What I'm saying is, when I put a new motherboard in, and I reinstall, I got to reinstall. Would I need to reinstall Vista, or can I just leave it on the hard drive as it is?
Try it on the hard drive as it is.
Right, so it might accept everything.
Vista is pretty solid at handling that.
So I might not even need to reinstall anything. I might just need to strip everything off the motherboard, put a new motherboard in, put everything back on again.
Yeah, if you've got the same... If you've got the same... IDE controller, then it'll probably still work, like the same manufacturer.
Right. Otherwise, it might be just a strip down, start again.
But try it anyway, because Windows Vista might go into like a super safe mode and...
So yeah, I've just got to look at new processor, because there's no, you said there's no point me putting a Pentium Duo onto the motherboard I've already got.
It depends if the motherboard supports it. It probably doesn't.
No. So yeah, I'm looking into that.
Core 2 Duo, 6600, any old motherboard will do. 2 gig of RAM, sorry.
So that's what I'm looking for next payday.
Okay, that's interesting.
Oh, and while I forget, it's something completely different. Nothing to do with the show. We'll continue with the show.
What the hell are you on about? What's going on?
No, it's what I'll tell you about off the show.
Okay.
Ooh, someone said something about what makes me read that out. The Mass Effect.
This makes me want to hear some info on Mass Effect, which will hit stores in America on May 22nd, hopefully. That's from Darth Ura.
I've not heard much from...
I don't know anything about it.
No, I haven't really looked into it, but...
So give us some info, and then we'll be able to tell you.
Yeah, because we want some more stuff like Supreme Commander, where it was like, what about Supreme Commander? We don't know. What about Supreme Commander? We don't know. I was bored, I looked at Supreme Commander. Oh my god, Paul really needs to see this game. And now we can't stop bloody playing it.
Yes, yeah, so you played it so recently, you haven't even patched it yet.
Yeah, because I haven't been at home with a computer. I've got to put my computer together.
Sure.
I'll be doing it when I get home.
Sure. Yeah, put your computer together. Right. You done?
I'm done. I'm happy.
I'm done, so that's good.
Nothing.
So yeah, download the Command & Conquer free demo.
Mm.
It's worth checking out.
Anybody else want to say anything for the chat room before we go?
Yeah, you've got 10 seconds. Yeah, Catherine says, I don't do any research, and she does.
Yeah, and I do a little bit.
I do. If it comes up in my daily browsing routine, I see it.
Well, I don't get much chance because I have to fight for the computer off my girlfriend, but now I've got my PC, but I won't have internet access.
You won't have internet access.
Router's not set up yet. I've got to get all the information.
Set the router up.
I know, but it's set up for
my
internet. My internet's at my house.
Oh, 2 second job.
I know, it's getting the password. She doesn't know what she can't remember the password for her logon. So we've got to hunt that down. And then I can fill in all the information on my stuff, set it up.
There's my password right there.
And then, but she's all up for me doing it because I'm going to make her computer wireless. Then I can have the router.
Wireless.
That means the router will be in the room where my computer is, which means it'll be on Ethernet, which will be faster than the wireless.
Yeah, okay. Just wire the whole place up, man. Stop being cheap and go Wi-Fi cheap.
Well, it's only Wi-Fi for her is because she'll eventually have a laptop. But the server and everything will be... Router.
Yeah, router is how we say router.
It's a router. A router.
You see, a router routes traffic. It doesn't route traffic. Stop being an American. Right. Is that it? Or are we going to continue debating with how you pronounce words?
No, I'm happy.
Okay, cool. We will see everyone on episode 62 next week.
Next week.
Woo.
I was Adam, and this was Paul, and this was Gamercast 61. We shall catch you later. Leave your feedback at portalforums.net. At the website, we want reviews sent to us in WoW or MP3.